Hey, Star Fam, on the most recent episode of the podcast, as you may recall, there's a big chunk where there's supposed to be an interview with Yvette Monreal where there isn't because of last minute scheduling difficulties. Well, if you listened to the episode for 311 prior to November 22nd, then this is the interview that belongs in there. So here it is for you to listen to all by itself. If you haven't listened to the episode for 311 yet, you don't need to listen to this. You can go listen to the episode for 311 because the interview has now been placed in it. That said, enjoy this charming, charming Yvette Monreal interview.
Stargirl After Show.
Okay, guys, as promised and completely on schedule, not at all late, I'm here with Yvette Monreal. Yvette, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sean. It's a pleasure to be here. Excuse my voice. I lost it over the weekend.
I should let everyone know, because they can't see you. Yvette is very sick and looking way more beautiful than anyone that sick has any right to look.
Thank you, Sean. You're so sweet.
Stunning movie star looks. Ugh, it makes me sick.
I can't even laugh.
So let's jump in. First, I have to say that you as Yolanda have been killing it this season, and my favorite thing is that Yolanda has not been racked by guilt and remorse this season. She kind of is getting back into being herself.
Yeah, you know, I think that comes from, you know, mind over matter. I feel like the JSA is so near and dear to her heart that right now, I feel like in the beginning of, not in the beginning of Stargirl, but like the beginning of Yolanda's journey when she was with Brainwave Jr. and, you know, pre-trauma Yolanda, she was very trusting with people. And I think that's how she got herself into that mess of releasing her nudes and all that. So she's very much changed her mindset of, you know, guilty until proven innocent. I think Rick is on the same page. And it's just, I think, a matter of like wanting to protect the new little family that she's built. And I feel like Meg's character, you know, she's amazing at it. She's proven to her time and time again that she's untrustworthy. So why even go into that rabbit hole of giving someone like that a chance, you know? It's like, I feel like I can already predict what's going to happen. You know, Breck, Courtney's character, sees the light in everything and second chances and everything. So I think it's just me trying to protect any danger from coming into that little world that we've built. And I don't believe that Cindy Berman deserves another chance from me. And I think it's more, might be a little bit selfish, but it's overall to protect what she's built. It was really fun though, having that dynamic with Meg, because as I was talking to you before this, Meg and I were so close and we love each other dearly. And so having those fight scenes, having those stare downs, it was such a fun time. And we really got into it, but we trusted each other to go there, you know, and we knew it was just fun. And we would giggle after. And it was just a good time to do that with one of your best friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you guys had your first like big fight together, just the two of you.
My gosh. And that was the most epic scene ever. It was one of my favorites this season. I mean, just the choreography. Obviously, you know, Walter Garcia. Yeah, he never ceases to amaze me. The choreography was insane. And the stunt doubles, obviously, Kira O'Connor was so amazing. I think Lauren did Meg's part. Yeah. Lauren Mary Kim and Kira O'Connor, they were insane stunt doubles and they worked their butts off. And it's just such a pleasure to have people like that. And Kira's been my stunt double since the beginning. So she really was able to get down Wildcat's stance and everything. She taught me so much, and it was so fun to watch and learn, you know, and just become great friends with these people. They really, really maximized their efforts, and it paid off. I think the fight sequences were so epic and fun. And the environment was so cool. Just everybody was putting in all their effort, you know?
Yeah, it was also pretty crazy running into Kira at on the dance floor at DragonCon.
You were there for it all. You're such a good friend. Yeah, that was so fun seeing them. What are the chances of that? I mean, I didn't know any of them liked doing the cons, so that was a really cool surprise.
Yeah, especially in like a room with like 4,000 people in it.
Gosh, it was so hot in those rooms. Yeah, and then she's just standing there right in front of us. So funny. But yeah, I guess she goes to the Dragon Cons every year, so that's pretty cool. I would go there again. You like to go there, right? Every year?
It's my favorite 5 days of the year. You should definitely come back. Do it.
Oh, I am. I regret not dressing up. I'm going to dress up next time. We're all going to go. Same crew as last time.
Nice. And breakfast Trey, time.
Akoya? Yeah, and breakfast time, for sure.
And Al can be on the list instead of just showing up.
I know. It was nice of him to show up, but definitely we have to reach that. Because he deserves to be there. We all do.
So are you allowed to talk about what you're working on right now?
Yeah, I am allowed to. I mean, I can't go into detail, obviously, because of it being a pilot and all that good stuff. But yeah, whatever was released online. It's a cool 1 hour drama. It's for HBO Max. It's called More. And yesterday I was doing the camera test all day, so that's why I couldn't do the interview yesterday. But yeah, I was done like at 8. It was such a long, long test. But yeah, it's going to be fun. It's a 1 hour drama, but there's a lot of comedic points in it. And we have such good writers. Amy Chozick, she's insane. I'm really excited about this. And the people who are cast in it, they're fantastic. And they're so welcoming and nice. And I'm just hoping, you know, Stargirl really did set the bar high. So I'm just hoping that we just have a good time, no drama, bunch of good stuff.
So any idea on when, I don't know how it works with pilots on streaming. Do they have the same like upfronts kind of thing? And
you know what? I'm not sure, but if we were to, well, we start filming end of November and then stop mid-December. So they have up to 6 months to tell us if we get picked up or not. But it's really great. Their writing is so good. I think I see good things happening, but knock on wood. We don't want to jinx anything. It'll be fun.
On Stargirl, we didn't have a pilot exactly. We shot the pilot and we went straight into episode 2. We didn't have to like wait.
I think originally it was supposed to be a pilot. I know some of the castmates were like only signed on for the pilot, later realizing that we were going to shoot the whole series. So yeah, but that was a blessing in disguise. I'm so glad I went straight to series.
And
got
you know,
to meet all people.
I know that our time on the show has come to an end, but, you know, 3 seasons is still good. It's a lot more than a lot of people get. And with a network change in the middle and all the stuff that's happened, it's kind of a miracle to get 3 seasons under the circumstances.
I know. Absolutely. I think like, yeah, after season 1, I think I knew for sure. I had no doubt in my mind. I was like, oh, we're for sure getting a season 2. I felt really sure about that one. Then after season 2, we got picked up before. We kind of got picked up or, no, wait.
We got picked up for season 3 before season 2 came out.
Yes, that's what it was. So that was very, I was so happy about that because it gave me something to look forward to after and it felt like a sure thing. But yeah, there was a like ominous feeling, not too ominous, but like just, it did feel different at the end of season three. Whereas usually I would leave some stuff at the offices because I knew I was coming back. And this time it just felt like no one said anything or anything, but it did feel different. I was like, why does it feel like it might be an end? I'm just overthinking it. I'm not going to, but I did take my Wildcat poster that was hanging in the office.
Nice.
I had a little bit of a feeling.
Bet you should take the helmet.
I know. What are they going to do with the costumes now?
I don't know.
Save them for guest appearances, maybe?
Knock wood again. So I'm going to lean back a little bit and relax and just get into chatty mode now.
What else should we talk about?
Other than working on your new pilot and mourning Stargirl, what's been going on, dude?
Honestly, this new pilot has taken up a lot of my time, but when I'm not doing that, I'm really just chilling, hanging out with family. That's really all I do. I mean, when it was hotter, I would go to the beach a lot and do that. I mean, I like going to Starbucks, hanging out, reading.
Catching a last minute flight to go see the premiere of Black Adam with your bestie.
That was really fun, Sean. Thank you for segueing into that. That was so much fun. And I flew out to New York. I tried to meet up with Meg, but she wasn't available. And we stayed at this really, really nice hotel. It's called the Knickerbockle. And it was a few streets down from where the premiere was. And when we went to walk the carpet, once the movie started, I had to use a restroom. I think Breck told you about this a little bit, but...
Oh, yeah, we got to hear it from the source, though.
From the source herself. I had to use the bathroom. It was 20 minutes into the movie. You know, Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, had just finished giving his beautiful speech about how much Black Adam meant to him and how excited he was to share it with everyone. And I had to go to the bathroom 20 minutes after, and I walk down the hallway, and I see Dwayne Johnson. You know what? He gave off a very cool vibe and was just super open and talking to anybody and everybody. He was not being like, you know, some people just don't want to be talked to and try to hide off the side. That was not him. He was very warm and welcoming, and he was on his phone. And then I just tapped him on the shoulder. I said, hey. He's like, oh, hi. And I said, you know, I'm part of the JSA too, right? And he goes, oh, yeah? How so? And I said, I'm on the show called Stargirl. I'm actually here with Stargirl herself. She's over there. And I play Wildcat. He's like, oh, my gosh, Stargirl, yeah. So he definitely heard of the show. He's like, you guys are filming in Atlanta. I said, yeah, we're filming in Atlanta. He's like, how do you like it? And at first I thought he was talking about the movie. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. I love everything. He's like, no, being a superhero. And I was like, honestly, it's one of the best roles I've ever had in my life. And he was like, oh, it's so great to hear. I was like, okay, well, I have to go to the restroom now. He's like, you go do that. Bye. So I left, and it was very chill, very mellow. And I went back to my seat once I was done using the restroom. And I told Breck, I was like, hey, I just talked to The Rock. She was like, no, you didn't. She did not believe me. And she still to this day doesn't believe me. But I promise that I talked to him. And he was very nice. And I only have nice things to say about him. It's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Breck told me that she was supposed to be in the Black Adam movie.
Yeah. I don't know about her, but Stargirl was supposed to be.
Stargirl, the character. Yeah. No, that's still awesome.
And of course, that does mean Breck, because Breck is the only Stargirl for all time.
Exactly.
Did you know in the new Stargirl comic that isn't based on the show, but still, like, Blue Valley is drawn to look like Blue Valley and Courtney's room is drawn to look like Courtney's room, even with that little owl statue under the lamp?
What?
Yeah.
That's so cool. I didn't even know a new comic book was released.
Yeah, the first issue just came out this past Tuesday.
Wow. Oh.
And Jeff wrote it.
I was going to ask, obviously, though. I was like, is that a dumb question? But yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah, Jeff's very busy. He's got a new comic coming out called for Image called Junkyard Joe. He's got this Stargirl comic, which is a 6-issue series, and he's got a new Justice Society series coming out like today, maybe.
Insane. Insane. That man, he's the best.
Oh, and he has a new TV series as well.
Oh, of course.
In development. Let's not forget that.
Jesus. He's busy, busy.
Yeah.
He's so great. I like working with him.
Hard to get him on a Zoom, I'll tell you that. But it's coming.
I can't imagine. Yeah. Maybe just be like, hey, a little 15-minute.
Can you believe we only have 2 episodes left?
Don't say it ain't so, Sean.
I'm afraid.
Say it ain't so.
I'm afraid it is so. And all the fans, of course, are not giving up. They're still hashtagging Save Stargirl all the time.
You know what? I'm hashtagging Save Stargirl all the time. You know, it would have been nice to go back and just do a last little mini goodbye, but everyone's happy with the 3 seasons, and Jeff said that he was very happy with how season 3 ended. I'm sorry, Sean. My voice is really messed up, isn't it?
You sound lovely.
I feel hindered. I feel very hindered right now.
Well, I mean, that's like part of your toolbox, your voice.
I know. Maybe I'll just do the rest of the interview whispering so I don't strain myself.
Yeah. It'll be like a secret conversation.
Secret conversation, guys.
These people are not supposed to be hearing this. It's all just hush hush between us.
I have more secrets to release. What should I say about my character? Should I spoil anything? I'm kidding.
We don't do spoilers on this show.
I know. You care about us.
In terms of having a little goodbye, though, I do think that we should do that on this podcast. We should have as many cast members as we can come on and say a few final words of goodbye to the fans, to each other, to the show, once the season's over.
I think everyone would love that.
I think that we're in a unique position as a podcast to be able to do that. I don't think most podcasts, when their show end, have any chance of doing that. And so I would like to take advantage of that and give the show a proper send-off.
Wait, so what's going to happen after season 3 is done? Are you done with Stargirl podcast?
We're going to do one more episode as a send-off, and then that's it. There's no more
Say
to talk about.
So. Say it ain't so. What about the JSA comics coming out? Keep it alive, Sean.
It's a different universe. This is the universe I signed up for. I'll have to find some other outlet for all my nerdiness. I do have that other podcast I haven't done in like 2 years. Let's start that back up.
There you go. I mean, it's if you're going to ever start it, now's the time.
Yeah.
Just consistency is key. I know, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm being a lame-o right now. You're like a...
No, this is what I wanted. I just wanted to talk to you, Yvette, and have you on. And I also, by the way, I love that you're wearing sunglasses that sort of make it look like you just
look crazy.
No, it makes you look like you just finished shooting some Wildcat stuff.
This is surreal me. This is sick, you bet. I look crazy. I look like a crazy girl.
What are you talking about?
I do. I look crazy.
You look beautiful. Knock it off.
Let me see one second.
But the big black circles from your glasses made it look like, you know, you just took off your Wildcat helmet.
Oh my gosh, my Wildcat helmet. It's the best. My little cowl.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah, you know what? Good job calling me out. It's a cowl. It's not a helmet. I should know better.
I learned that. I didn't know what a cowl was either, so don't feel too bad. It definitely came with all the... I learned it as time went on, and like how it was mentioned so much in the script. I was like, this is a cowl. I would use helmet before, same, so don't feel bad.
Well, as a diehard Batman reader for 33 years, I've long known what a cowl is, and I should have known the difference.
That's true. You are really good at your comics.
Yeah, I'm good at my comics.
You're good at your comics? Did I say that wrong? You're making fun of me, Sean.
Just a little bit.
Rude.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you become too friendly with your interviewer. They make fun of you a little bit.
I do have to say, though, this episode 11, Artemis finding her parents' remains was very heartbreaking, and she delivered it beautifully. She did such a good job with everything. It was so fun to watch her. She's going to be a little star, Stella. That Stella girl.
I think there are a lot of big stars that are going to come out of this show.
Absolutely.
Like, everyone is so talented. And, like, no one is an asshole, which is really going to help everyone get far.
I think so. I mean, I've learned that the world goes round in this industry. So, you know, you really have to... being nice goes very far. And there's no reason to treat anybody differently just because you guys have different positions on a show. You know, it doesn't make sense. Humans are humans. And I don't know. I learn a lot from just watching people too. And see, like, if they're nice to me, cool. But then if they treat, like, you know, that's that old saying goes, like, if they treat the waiter at the restaurant poorly, it's like, that speaks volumes. I don't like seeing that. It's not cool.
Yeah, especially from actors who have almost universally all worked at restaurants at some point. Yeah.
My first restaurant was Islands.
So you did work at a restaurant.
I did. I worked at Islands. And I remember I was the back server, so I was the one who handed out the trays to the servers so they could put it on people's tables. And one time, this has nothing to do with anything, so sorry, but one time the to-go person didn't show up, and I was back serving by myself. And there, it was a very busy night. I was putting everything in place for the waiters. As I was doing to-go, that was my first time doing to-go orders, and I got written up because it looked like I wasn't trying hard enough. It looked specifically, she got written up because she didn't care enough. I was bawling and tears crying, and I was like, I hate this place. And I quit, and I went to go work at a movie theater instead, which was pretty cool. Top free movies. It was Arclight.
Oh, you worked at the Arclight.
Yeah, it was the Arclight in Manhattan Beach.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
I've only been to the Cinerama Dome Arclight.
Cinerama Dome. I think I've been there too.
That's when I visited LA, that's where I went and saw all my movies.
There you go. I actually had my first indie movie premiere at an Arclight in Hollywood. And it was just so full circle because working at the movie theater, then having a movie that you're in being such a huge, you know, Arclight to me was just one of the big theaters. Like, wow, this is pretty nice. For it to be like the center, it was an incredible experience. It was so cool. I was like, wow, I used to work here. Now I'm having a movie shown in one of the movie theaters. It's pretty cool. It was that movie I did with Eva Longoria and Damien Bashir. It was called Lowriders. It was a fun little one that I did back in the day.
When I did my first feature, I also worked at a movie theater for like 15 years, though.
Isn't it great, kind of?
I'll say that I worked for a different company, and that company recently declared bankruptcy, and I was like, good, that's what they deserve.
Oh, no, you had a bad experience.
It was good experiences for a few years, and then it got bad and then worse. And then I quit without notice to come actually make movies. So, you know.
Right.
But when I did my first feature, I was like, back at that theater that I quit without notice, my name is going to be in those end credits. Not as cool as your thing, but like, I experienced, you know, a percentage of that, just knowing that someone could be cleaning that theater and look up and see my name and go, hey, well, he worked here.
Honestly, I always watch the end credits. Even before I started acting, I was like, I want to watch the end credits. And then I like looking people up and just being like, oh, that's cool. Oh, they worked on this, they worked on that. So that's pretty cool, Sean.
I like watching the credits to see, you know, people's names I know, like personally know, because half of all movies, it seems, are shot in Atlanta. So
they are.
It's a lot of people that I've worked with a lot of the time.
I know. That's why I'm keeping my condo there.
Isn't it also bananas that Black Adam was shot here? Because it takes place in like a Middle Eastern country and nothing of it looks remotely like Atlanta.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was Atlanta.
Yeah.
Were there studios? It looked like a lot of it was, you know, green screen.
Yeah. It was shot down at Trilith, formerly Pinewood.
God, yeah.
But they had to have done some like outside stuff, right? They wouldn't shoot the whole movie on a studio.
Maybe the house was on location. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I just saw it like two nights ago.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was exactly what I expected it would be. Hashtag not my JSA.
Yeah. I am excited about the next movie, though, because Superman comes in.
Yeah, apparently. Henry Cavill's talked about how he wants his next Superman thing to be like more hopeful and joyful, like Superman. And I've always thought that he was like really, really fantastic casting for Superman. And I don't think he's been allowed to be Superman in any of the movies he's been in. He seemed like Superman in the end credits of Black Adam, though. When he popped up in that scene, I was like, oh, look, he's Superman. He's not just some grim, moody dude dressed as Superman.
Yeah, I heard it was really hard to get him.
He's been a busy guy, too. Right. So, when did you find out that for sure we were not getting a fourth season?
When I was
cast for this pilot, this pilot had to be put in second position because of Stargirl. But I was like, hey, like, I don't want it to interfere. And Jeff did give me the green light to work on the pilot. And he said that he'd, like, ride around if we did go for another season. But it was so up in the air. They just didn't want to confirm it to any of us. I don't know. I had a feeling when we wrapped, but I don't think I wanted to believe it. But yeah, I found out 2 days before the press release was given out. Jeff called us and told us it wasn't happening anymore and that he really, really tried his hardest. And I believe him. And yeah, it really made me emotional. Because Wildcat and Yolanda Montez really changed my life for the better. So it was very emotional. That phone call, I was in my car, I was crying. But it, nonetheless, it did so many great things for me. And it really opened me up as a person and built so many great relationships on this show. I wouldn't change it. And like you said, we did a really great run. 3 seasons is more than a lot of shows on air, you know, so I'm just grateful. But I had hope for a silver lining because of how great the show was. And I knew Jeff had a great idea with the 4th season. I just wanted it to happen. But yeah, 2 days before Deadline released an article, that's when I knew for sure, for sure. But like I said, I did take the poster in the office at the end of the season just in case. Because I was like, if we go again, that's an easy print again. They could just print it, another one out.
Yeah, right in the art department. Don't even need to send out.
So, yeah. What about you? When did you know?
About an hour before the press release went out. Jeff had emailed me late the night before, like 1:40 in the morning my time. To let me know. So I had just enough time in the morning before the press release went out to compose my thoughts, to put on Twitter, to let people know. So as soon as the press release went live, I was able to put out a little tweet thread, and, you know, let everybody know how much we all appreciate them and what a great time we all had. And it's sad that we won't all be together on something again in the future, but like also, I'm sure that I will work with all of you again at some point because they're not going to stop making stuff in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Yesterday, I ran into the DP. His name is Doug. I'd worked with him on my very first show called Faking It. And I was like looking at him in his mask. I was like, I feel like I know you. And he was like, I don't know. My name's Doug. I was like, wait, I don't know how this clicked, but I was like, were you the DP on Faking It? And all of a sudden we were like, oh my God. So yes, it definitely comes back around. The industry, I feel like it's a lot smaller than it's made out to be. And I do strongly believe we'll work together again, John.
I mean, that'd be so. You even bring your dog to the vet where Tim Gabriel works.
What? How did you know that?
Because, of course, I had him on the podcast as well.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
This podcast is actually all about people talking about Yvette Montreal. All the interviews are just about you.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Yeah, I remember. I was fostering a dog. And then I was fostering a dog through this foundation. And I took him in for the vet. And there was this man and woman teaming up to make sure the dog was okay and everything. And his weight was fine. And as soon as I left, the foundation texted me like, hey, this is completely random, but Obsidian was your vet. I was like, what? Yeah, Obsidian was your vet. I was like, and I looked up Obsidian. I was like, Obsidian. I was like, oh my God. And then I put two and two together. I was like, tell him I said hi. That's so crazy. I didn't recognize him. I didn't have any scenes with him, but that's so awesome. So it really, really is a small world. Like, we worked on that show in Atlanta and we saw each other in Culver City. What are the odds?
Yeah, he said that he saw you, and while you were there, he was like, I think that's Yvette, but like, I don't want to bother her. And once you left, he was like, what was her name? And they looked it up. And he's like, it was her.
Yeah, I know. I wish he would have said something. I didn't get to see him at all on the show.
Yeah, it's I told him, you know, if he ever sees you again, that he should talk to you because you're completely approachable and wonderful, and you would never get mad at that.
I know. It's the glasses. I'm always in sunglasses. Sometimes a hat, and then my face just rests in a very frowny face way. So probably that's not. But I am very approachable. I didn't really get many people coming up to me for Stargirl. Well, like if I was, you know, like Stranger Things, like you said, that's a whole nother beast. So,
I mean, that doesn't even begin to touch on the fact that Stargirl should, by every measure, be as big as Stranger Things. It's a whole other conversation.
It's going to be a classic, and it'll make its way around again, I think. It'll stand the test of time.
Oh, for sure. I listened to some podcasts where they talk about all sorts of superhero TV shows and movies. And yeah, when the cancellation happened, or the not renewal, not a cancellation, just a not renewal.
Oh.
I don't know what the difference is, honestly, but that's how I'm thinking of it in my brain. They were all like, it's literally one of the best superhero shows that I've ever seen in my life. It's crazy that they're not getting another season. And, you know, obviously I agree.
I agree as well, but, you know, we did what we had to do. It was a great time, and I will forever be mourning Sad Girl. Sad Girl. I will forever be mourning Star Girl. I'm so silly.
No, you will be a sad girl.
I will be a sad girl. Morning Star Girl. John, if you want to redo this podcast, trust me, give me a couple of days. I feel like I suck right now.
No, I think you're wonderful. I like the flubs too. I'm not polishing you.
It's okay. I don't need to be polished. This is me. This is the real me. My gosh.
Yvette, I know that you need your voice to do your job. So I'm going to let you get to resting that voice, drink some more tea, have some like honey and chamomile and stuff. I do want to thank you for coming on again, and let's try to make something happen at the end of the season so you can say with your real proper voice a proper goodbye to all the fans.
Okay, sounds good. I guess I'll go rest my voice. I was having so much fun.
Stargirl After Show is a production of Fandom Limb Media.